Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It's time for The Bigger Picture, and I hope it's not a bigger bubble.
Yeah, so this morning we have been talking about how Guo Shuqing, the chairman of the China Banking and Insurance Regulatory Commission, talked about how he was very worried about the risks emerging from bubbles in the global financial markets.
Yeah, that's right. And China wants to get ahead of the curve on this and mitigate any oncoming risks. That's a big topic of conversation.
A couple of risks to look out for. Bubbles potentially in the markets in the US, Europe and elsewhere, maybe in property markets as well. That seemed to weigh on Asian markets yesterday and maybe as well on Wall Street overnight. We saw a sell-off across the board. Let's get a bigger picture from Christopher Wong. He is the client portfolio strategist at Fidelity International for Southeast Asia. Morning, Christopher. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Chris, let's start things off with your view on the risks in the markets right now. And of course, the latest warning coming through from China's top banking regulator. He's pointing out there are bubbles forming in the US and Europe. And he's watching very closely capital inflows into China. And also, he singled out the property market, which was, of course, very resilient in not just China, but in many other countries as well. How much risk is there right now based on what he's saying, Chris?
Hey, morning, Ryan. These comments come ahead of the upcoming MPC meeting, where it's not unusual for the government to talk ahead of the session about managing certain risks. What is unusual is it's usually about the renminbi, foreign exchange and other domestic matters, and a bit less on foreign markets. But we think these comments that were made last afternoon are generally in line with China's stance for stability in its economy and society to balance risk and economic growth. And it's also somewhat timely, if you remember, sometime in February, they announced that there were plans to potentially allow individual investors to buy overseas financial products. And really, there were two parts that were in focus in the comments. So the first was controlling property prices. Now, we have actually already seen policies and developments even before the statement by the regulator yesterday. The Chinese administration already implemented measures to manage prices and leverage in the property sector in the spirit of keeping prices stable and to act as a store of value. Now, the central bank has been already tightening credit conditions in recent months, and we feel they are likely to continue on this path in the short and mid-term. Now, while there is risk of over-tightening, which might lead to a bit of a negative implication across the region, we are also seeing signs that the regulator is pretty prudent on this and are wary of over-tightening, which may derail the economy. Now, on the second part of the statement, which was also of interest, was on the bubbles in the US and European markets, right? Which could burst because their rallies were heading opposite directions. Now, this is something that we have already been keeping an eye out for some time. So we agree that valuations in certain areas of the markets, like certain growth stocks, or maybe even certain parts of the US market appear to be rich, right? Especially those that benefited from trends like work from home or other technological trends. There are also areas that where we think there are still opportunities in the market, but we're very selective here. So things we currently are a bit more in favor of are like Asia, value stocks that are linked to a gradual reopening of the economy. Right, they hold more value in our opinion, and have not fully priced in the better economic outlook going forward. So as a whole, we would say investors should still stay nimble and very selective in where they're investing.
Yeah, Chris, this conversation about stimulus policies being tightened sooner rather than later is also playing out in the US, and this is also reflected in the bond yields, which was creating quite a bit of drama for stock markets last week. And we saw that hit a one-year high of around 1.6%. And since then, it's actually calmed down quite a bit. It's now at around 1.4%. But despite the calming down in bond yields, we still saw a big sell-off overnight. What's happening with markets right now? Why are they not reacting to the coming down in bond yields, so to speak?
We also have to put this in perspective, right? Yesterday's kind of a retracement was further to a nice rally we saw the night before, right? So it's maybe a kind of a profit-taking after a very strong night of performance. But in general, we just feel that the U.S. Treasury yields are probably in a correct spot at the moment, right? The general risk markets can probably take in treasury yields about 1.3 to 1.5% without seeing a big negative implication. And other than this current yield level, which everyone's quite fixated on, we feel that the pace of these yield rises will be important, right? As typically, equity markets will be able to absorb moderate rise in yields and maybe get a little bit more negatively if yields were to rise very quickly from here on. So that's one to look out for. And second as well, Fed Chair Powell and a number of Fed speakers have also reiterated that they are very watchful of the economic situation. They are willing to be patient to allow economic growth to come through again and for inflation to gradually rise from here. And they'll continue to keep monetary policies very loose. Mm. So that's also something to watch out for.
We're chatting with Christopher Wong. He's the client portfolio strategist for Southeast Asia at Fidelity International. Now, Chris, looking at all these risks in the markets, you're also looking out for the potential risks around the virus mutation and the slow rollout of the vaccine deployment. Walk us through the scenario, the base case scenario you're painting here, and also we've seen a lot of interest in aviation stocks recently. Looking at SIA, it's actually the best performer year-to-date. It's up 21% on the STI. Is there a bit too much optimism into the aviation sector right now with the vaccine rollout?
Yeah, there's generally been positive developments from the rollout of vaccines, right? Just some statistics. So in February, there were more people vaccinated than have been infected by the virus. So you can see that as an important milestone. Right. We've also seen certain countries like US and the UK, for example, start to show good progress in their vaccination programs after quite a slow start. And even here in ASEAN, Singapore has been one of the leaders. Mm-hmm. We've been moving ahead with the virus inoculation. We're also seeing some of our neighbors in the region start to commence their programs, like Indonesia, Malaysia, and others are looking to commence theirs by the middle of the year. So that said, one should still be mindful, and some of the risks we're seeing, potential risks here will be mutation of the virus, another large wave which forces lockdowns globally, or slower than expected rollout. Now, then, in reaction to that, we are seeing equity markets also react quite strongly to this development. So, global equities have rallied more than 20% since the announcement of the first virus back in October, November, right? And another trend we have seen is a rotation from growth to value, like SIA you mentioned during mm-hmm. the period. Yeah, and Asian markets have also done very well during the period. So overall, with regards to, broadly speaking, a lot of these reopening stocks, we think there is still value in them. Markets are not fully pricing in a kind of recovery, but where we also adhere to being very selective here. So not every reopening stock is potentially a winner, right? There are still with some with more challenging balance sheet situations. Hence, one must be very selective in where they invested.
And Chris, just to wrap things up, talking about winners and losers, China, of course, warned about a property bubble building up. How does this place Singapore property stocks when you look at the trends playing out? You've got work from home still affecting demand for office spaces and some indirect impact in terms of traffic in the CBD for retail. There's talk about cooling measures and maybe even property tax in the pipeline as part of a review for wealth taxes. Is this a place to be right now, property stocks?
Well, property stocks in Singapore are really trading at really low valuation with relatively high dividend yields at the moment. But again, I agree, and then we still advocate being very selective here. So one should be very selective in where they're investing with regards to property stocks. So at the moment, within our Singapore strategies, we're finding more opportunities in select REITs, right, which provide an attractive level of yield, one, and two, some of these opportunities also provide exposure to both domestic and overseas industries and trends. Mm. So that's where we're really invested in terms of property.
Okay, so a bit of diversification available in some of the REITs out there to look out for. We've been chatting with Christopher Wong. He's the client portfolio strategist for Southeast Asia at Fidelity International. Chris, thank you again for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.